And we've reached the end of our series on liberation. We've been using the story of the Exodus preaching through those events, that time when God set his people free from slavery in Egypt, set them on the path to the promised land. And the theme of this morning is, I will sing to the Lord. It's a text from Exodus 15, that passage known as the Song of Moses. And you remember that Moses, just in an outpouring of joy at everything that God has done, he just lets loose with this lengthy hymn of spontaneous praise. And, you know, it marks that point where God has, he's fulfilled his promise to set them free, hasn't he? They're not yet in the promised land. That's going to take another 40 years. But he has set them free. Free by the amazing parting of the Red Sea and letting them through, and then the sea comes back and their oppressors, the Egyptians, are destroyed, never to bother them again. We are going to sing praise to the Lord this morning, give him thanks for what he's done in our lives. We're going to do that later on, but we want to be very real here. You know, I was talking to someone earlier in the week. They said, you know, we've come to near the end of our series, and you know, my sense is that we're still not free. Well, what are we to do about that? Because my conviction is that God is an unchanging God, and he's not a negligent God. If we are not experiencing freedom, it's not because God does not wish us to, or because he can't give us that freedom in our lives. He is able and he is willing. You know, it's right to praise God, whatever's going on, just because of that. Because he's a faithful God. He is a good all the time. Okay, his purposes we do not fully understand always. And not everything we see is in accordance with God's will. The Bible makes that very clear, that the things happening in this world which are not according to God's will, we don't understand those things fully. We have some idea, but it remains a mystery. It's right to praise God because every single person who has accepted Jesus into their lives, however they are feeling, has made a change. You know, God has taken them from, the Bible says, from death to life, from darkness into light. However we are feeling this morning, this is what God has done for everybody who has put their trust in Jesus and purpose to follow him in their lives. This is the promise. This is an absolute promise. I want to be real, though, because I believe that God is real, and I believe that his freedom is more than just a nice idea, an encouraging concept that we can hold on to. It's something real that we can experience in our lives. And so we're going to go through a little process this morning. We're going to backtrack a little bit over some of the ground that we've covered. Because, as I say, God is. Do we believe that God is here this morning? Do we believe that we're in the presence of Almighty God? Yeah? And in his presence, we're told there's fullness of joy. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. And that's what we're seeking. So we're going to backtrack a little bit. As I say, we're going to really go back to the start of the series and say, we ask the question, what is liberation? Well, the Exodus was a liberation from a very oppressive circumstances, wasn't it? The children of Israel were imprisoned, were enslaved, rather, in Egypt. And they were treated harshly and unjustly. And, you know, that God took them out of that whole situation. It wasn't exactly a spiritual bondage. It was physical, real life circumstances, and God just walked in and changed that and took them right out of that. And you know, liberation of human beings in the world, of the oppressed and the poor, is still God's work. It's still a call on each one of us who wish to follow Jesus. You know, we are not going to be ourselves fully liberated unless we attend properly to the needs of the poor and the oppressed, those who lack justice in this world. But we also said, after that, we said the New Testament does bring to the fore another kind of oppression. Oppression more of a spiritual nature comes through sin, which the Bible says entangles us, and sorrow, which threatens to overwhelm us. And this morning, we want to put ourselves into that place where we can meet with God and he can minister to us. Because, you know, if we come to that place, then God is a faithful God. He doesn't mess us around, you know. When we come to the place where we can meet him, he'll meet us. And we can expect to be set free. So first, we're just going to deal with this question of sin. We know that sin is a barrier between ourselves and God. But the New Testament is very, very clear that no sin is beyond the forgiveness of God. And the important thing is that we are real with God. You know, the Bible calls it confessing our sins. And in a minute, we're going to have a time when we can do that before God. But we're going to just look at briefly at the idea of sin itself. Maybe we're used to thinking about, and this is not wrong, the sins as like the seven deadly sins. You know, I mean, read them out. I mean, I think this is more a Catholic church idea, but it's an old concept, the seven deadly sins. Wrath, greed, sloth, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony. But the Bible says, you know, everything that's not of God is sin. You know, and God is love. So everything that's not of love, we have to say, is sin. I heard a couple of stories. One story just recently, a lady, and I didn't get this story firsthand, but it is absolutely genuine. I got it reliably. Someone was talking to this lady, and she said, "You know, I feel." Now you'll probably think this isn't a remarkable story. It happens all the time. She said, "I'm married. I feel undervalued. I feel unloved, and you know, I really am struggling to stay happy in my marriage." Now, okay, two sides to every story, isn't there? There's always, you know, we can make judgments like that. But the saddest thing that really hit home to me was, then she said, "And I have learnt over the years that it's not worth saying anything, because if I ever hint to my husband that I am not ecstatically happy with the way things are, I get a torrent of rage, and you know, which just goes on and on, and then a long period of sulking." And she said, "It's just not worth it. I've learned over the years just to keep quiet." Now that man is not only a Christian, but he's a Sunday school teacher, and he's a deacon in his church. Now that doesn't compute to me. You know, I know these things happen. It's not in this church, by the way, but, you know, something wrong, isn't there, when Christians, followers of Christ, act like that? He's not a bad man. I like him. But something wrong. You know, on the other foot, you know, I know a Christian couple where the wife has kept the husband down absolutely under the thumb with constant criticism. I mean, and nagging and just controlling the whole time. He is a defeated man in his marriage. Now, you know, it reminded me of in Jeremiah 34, when God has told the Jews, his people, through Jeremiah, that they declare a time of jubilee where if they have a Hebrew slave, one of their brothers or sisters, is in slavery, is the slave to them, because that did happen, he says, "You have to let them go. I'm declaring an amnesty, a jubilee. You must let all your brothers and sisters from among my people free. And they did, and then they sort of went back on it because it was too costly. It cost them too much to do that. And I think God lashes out, he rails at these people when they don't do right among their fellows. He says, therefore, this is what the Lord says, you have not obeyed me. You have not proclaimed freedom for your fellow countrymen. So I now proclaim freedom for you, freedom to fall by the sword, plague and famine. I will make you abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth. There's a principle, isn't there, at work. If we want to be free, we have to let others be free also. There is no other way. We cannot expect to hold others, control others, manipulate others, and ourselves be free, because that just doesn't happen under God. Now, sin is an entangling thing, and I wonder, you know, what are we needing to get straight with God this morning? You know, is it one or more of those? Are those the seven deadly sins? Very, I mean, I say them in a funny voice, but they're not funny. You know, they're things that are anathema to God. You know, the lust, greed, and all those other things. Or, you know, is it more subtle? Is it that need you have to get your own way? Or, you know, some of us are so it's steeped in that, we don't even realize we're doing it. You know, it's just second nature that things have to be done my way. It's obvious, actually, they don't. Or is it maybe that a tendency to take out our frustration with life on those who are close to us, maybe who aren't in a position to hit back? Or maybe is there somebody this morning that you haven't forgiven? We know unforgiveness is a real barrier, it's a sin, I mean, and it keeps us from God. Is it lack of trust? Do we lack trust in the Lord this morning? You know, that's a very it's not always easy to trust in the Lord, but if we are not trusting in God, what are we saying? We're not giving him the glory that's due to his name, because he's declared himself to be a trustworthy, a faithful God. And if we are not trusting him, what are we saying about him? We're saying, actually, I don't believe that he's faithful. I don't believe that if I get in a mess, God will help me out. I don't believe he will be there for me when these things happen. You know, and that's not right before God. So, you know, at the moment, we're gonna have a time of quiet. We all need to bring things to God this morning, I'm sure. I certainly do. And at the moment, in this silence, don't try and do anything with these things at the moment. You know, we'll come on to that later. Because these things are, you know, sin entangles us. You can't just get free of it just like that. Just bring them out into the open before God. Don't make him any promises that you're not going to do it again or anything like that. Just come and say, Lord, this is what's not wrong, what's not right in my life. I just open it up before you now, and I am sorry. I am sorry for that, you know. So let's have that time of quiet, quiet confession before God. Now, we have a promise from God that when we confess our sins, he's going to forgive us. And it's given to us as a mark of his faithfulness. You know, he puts his reputation on the line with this one. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. And because Jesus died, we can be forgiven. If God didn't forgive us, God himself would make a mockery of the cross, of the blood of Jesus. God, that's why we're told he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess. And as we've confessed those things to God, now we have to receive his forgiveness. Otherwise, we make him a liar. We have to receive forgiveness for those things that we've brought into the open in front of him. And we need to forgive ourselves for them. for all those inadequacies, those shortcomings, those individual things that we've done and said and thought that we're wrong. We need to forgive ourselves, otherwise we're setting ourselves higher than God. God says, you are forgiven. Here, receive the word of grace. You don't deserve it. I'm giving it to you as a gift of grace. This is your forgiveness. This is my gift to you. But we need to go on, because the Bible says it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's not God's intention that his people remain trapped in sin. You know, going through that cycle, what they call a sin-confess cycle, where you just keep on sinning and confessing and round and round and round. God is not only the forgiver. The story of the Exodus says God is the liberator. And the prophet Isaiah wrote into another period of slavery for the people of God, not the Exodus in Egypt this time, but the exile when the Jews were forcibly taken away from their land into Babylon, and their rights and their culture were decimated, trampled underfoot. And through Isaiah, God confronts the people with the cause of their trouble. It's very easy, isn't it, when we're having trouble, we start to blame God. And this is what the children of Israel have been doing. The Jews have been kind of blaming God. They've been saying, well, you know, God's not fair. God should have done this. God should have done that. And again, God says, actually, it's you. Actually, it's your fault. I'm not the one that has caused this to happen to you. You have brought it on yourself. And again, God pleads with them to turn back to him so that he can once again bless them, as he really, really wants to do. And then we get this wonderful point in chapter 59. There seems to be a turning point, and it looks as though the people finally, they got it. You know, and in verse 5 to 11 of that chapter 59, they acknowledge, finally, it's not God's fault that they're where they are. It's theirs. And verses 11 to 12, they say, we look for justice, but find none, for deliverance, but it is far away. For our sins are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. What's happened? They've finally stopped trying to justify themselves. They stopped blaming God and making excuses, and they've said, we've brought this on ourselves. And this is God's response just a few verses later. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises on you. And God wants his people to arise and shine and reflect his glory. And so he gives us something to sing about. He does set us free. This is my testimony. God set me free. I wouldn't be a pastor. I wouldn't be a preacher today if God had not set me free from the particular thing that had me bound, had me oppressed, that was keeping me keeping me in chains, really, in my life. And it was something that really was a sin, and it was an entangling sin. You know, it was an addiction, which is an entangling sin. And day after night after night, I was a Christian believer. I prayed about it. Won't you set me free, God? Will you please let me break out of this? I don't want to be doing this. When I'd given up hope, when I thought maybe this is my thorn in the flesh, maybe this is, you know, what Paul was talking about, when God said, my grace is sufficient for you, maybe I've got to live with this, maybe this is just something I will never break free of, and I'll just have to rely on the grace of God. And I'd come to that point, and then one night, God came upon me in a new way, and I woke up the next day, and I knew that I was different. I was completely, I didn't have to do, you know, to do that anymore. The addiction did not have me anymore. I was changed completely in an instant. I mean, overnight, you know. I woke up the next day, and it was still real. And the next day, and the next day, and the next week, and the next year. Never gone back to the same again. And God did that in a way that I couldn't mistake. I couldn't say that was anything else other than the power of God. Because that's the way he engineered it, I'm sure. You know, there's no way I could think, well, I just turned over a new leaf. I tried that over and over again. But when God came, you know. And anyone who wants to be free from the sin that entangles can be free in Christ. You know, you can't do it yourself, but God can always do it. And God does it in this way. He crushes the things that oppress us, and he provides us with an alternative, because sin always has a payoff. You know, if you whatever sin entangles us, there's always a payoff. We wouldn't do it otherwise if there wasn't something in it for us. It's always fulfilling a purpose in our lives. It's always filling a void in our lives, compensating for a lack. But when God pours his love into our lives, you know, his love fills our emptiness. His love calms our fears, calms our insecurities, soothes our anger, deals with the pain that we feel. There is no other way to be free from the sin that entangles us other than when God's power, he said, allow God's power to deal with the sin and allow God's love to deal with the cause of the sin. Now, would you be free from your burden of sin? You know, you can be free today because of the power, as the song says, of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has a power that we don't fully appreciate, but when it comes upon us, we know it. And God's amazing love that gave up Jesus to die for us is overwhelming. And it's a love that is fully available to be experienced through the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to sing that song now. We're going to sing, Would You Be Free from Your Burden of Sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. And we believe that. I believe that absolutely, fully and completely. And we pray. As we sing, let's feel the power of the Lord as we give him the praise and the glory, and we acknowledge the power in Jesus' blood.
Shall we stand? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power.
Life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the
We believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb, and we thank you for every time we've experienced that power. Lord, we pray now that you'll release those who need to be released among our number today, Lord, that if any are in bondage, if any are oppressed, Lord, that the wonderful power of the blood of Jesus and the beautiful person of the Holy Spirit will come upon them and release them. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. That way. Now, we've spent a significant time talking about sin, but we come now rather more briefly to this idea of freedom from sorrow, because we're all, to one extent or another, if we're alive, we're victims of sorrow. You know, we're victims of sorrow caused by things that we've done to ourselves, things that we've the ways we've labelled ourselves, seen ourselves, and of course, the way others have treated us, things that others have done and said to us about us. Maybe we are victims of sorrow caused by tragic circumstance or bitterly sad or hard events. We are victims of sorrow caused by the fallen, messed up state of the world. And as Sue was reminding us early on, you know, the Bible never minimizes the hurt, the trouble that there is in the world. And but for the Christian, for the believer, you know, we are the people of hope. We are people of healing. And God says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus, who loved us, gave his life for us. And I believe that God wants to minister today to those who are hurting, souls that are sorrowful, those who are oppressed by sorrow, hemmed in, those who are unable to get free from that entanglement, that which threatens to overwhelm them. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. You know, Jesus said, peace. You know, to those who lack peace, he said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. But Jesus also said, if anyone would come into those things, if anyone would come into that peace, you know, that living water, he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will find it. So the only way to be free from sorrow is to abandon ourselves fully to Jesus. There is no other way, you know, to lay down, to let go of those things that hold you and those things that are holding on to you, and surrender all to him. And then, you know, let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Let him have the things that hold you. And his spirit, like a dove, will descend upon your life and make you whole. We know that song written by John Wimber, who certainly saw many, many people released from the power of sorrow in their lives. You know, let him fill your life. Let Jesus fill your life and satisfy your soul. You know, Jesus, come and fill your lambs. It's all about Jesus. We need to turn, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we need to turn now to the person of Jesus. He alone is the one who can satisfy. He's the one who gave his life so that you might live, you know, so that you might have life in all fullness. Remember that passage from John 10 where Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's why they can have life in all its fullness. And he invites us to come into that fullness of life through laying down of ourselves, of all our ambitions, our pride, all the things, everything, not only the sin, but also the good, everything has to be laid down at the foot of the cross. Everything has to be put into the hands of Jesus. He is the source of our personal hope. He's the only one who has risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore. And he's the one who needs to be, he's Lord of all, he's Lord of the universe. He needs to be Lord of your life and my life too. If you want to be free, then it's a time to give it all up. It's a time to, we quoted the hymn, you know, make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conqueror be. There's the principle that is through and through the New Testament. There's no other way to be free from sorrow than to a complete abandonment of ourselves to the faithful, loving and powerful person of Jesus, the Son of God. And so now, why don't we do that? We'll just take a few minutes, a few moments to reflect on what we might need to let go of if we are going to come into that freedom that God wants to give us. It's not automatic. This is something that we need to be doing. God is ready to take control, to take lordship over our lives, and he will do that in a good way. So it's time now to just let all that go and hand your life over to Jesus Christ. Now, this is something obviously we need to do as a daily walk with Jesus. But what God has received, you know, what you have offered, God has received. God has taken. God will not go back on his promise to you. Now, we're going to come on to focus our attention now on the person of Jesus. We're going to receive him now in our bodies in that symbolic way. When the song says, come and feed your lambs, and Jesus left us with this symbolic meal. Many churches, they would call this a sacrament. This is from my background, and we believe that this is a way that God has ordained, which is more than what it appears. It's more than just a ritual. This is a way of expressing in physical form what God is doing on the inside of us. And in this meal, we feed on Jesus. We take him into our bodies physically and also spiritually, because we need to be so close to Jesus in our lives, and this is the way that God has provided for that to happen. So let's pray, and we remember Jesus as we come to this table. So Father, we do thank you so much for Jesus, the one who has set us free. In very reality, the one who gave his life. Lord, we remember with wonder the events of the Exodus, but we remember even more, with even more awe and wonder, the fact that you became human in the person of your Son, that you shared our life. And Lord, you were tempted in every way. That Jesus was tempted in every way as he lived out the human life in this same fallen world that we now inhabit. And yet, we praise you because he was without sin. He resisted every temptation, and that is why he can be our great high priest and also our perfect sacrifice. And we praise you and thank you for him. And we remember with gratitude how on the night in which he was betrayed and given over to death, he shared a meal with his friends. And he took bread and broke it, gave it to them, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks to God and blessed it and gave it to them, saying, "Take this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, Father, we come to receive this bread, this wine, this precious body and blood of Jesus, not because we are have earned it, not because we are good enough, but because we need it and because you offer it as a sign of your grace and of your perfect love. And we pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on this bread and this wine and on us as we eat and drink. Lord, may it be for us the body and blood of Jesus our Lord. May we feed on him by faith and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, I wonder if we'll get out of our seats today. I wonder if somebody could come and help me, and then we'll just ask anybody who wants to come and then you come and get... No, that's wrong, isn't it? We're not used to doing it this way. That's better. So you come and take the bread, take a piece of bread from the Lord, from Mabel, via Mabel.
Right.
And then you come to me and get your wine.
I'm not sorry, I can't take it right.
That's all right, Eileen, while you're here, bless you. And would you like to join Eileen and come and take the Lord's Supper here? You go to Mabel first. Eileen will show us the way. Please come and join us. Join her here. And if anyone wishes to linger at the... in prayer, please just, you can come and pray on the steps while this is all going on. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and love and for the sign of those wonderful gifts to us in this special meal. We thank you for uniting us with the Lord Jesus Christ and giving us a foretaste of the complete freedom, the total liberty, the wonderful banquet prepared for all your people in heaven. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we are going to sing to the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and voice. We're going to say together. I've set the worship band loose. They can't wait to praise the Lord. I love it. And but first, we're going to say together some pieces from the reading today. And we're going to read from Exodus. Let's just have that light off because that might make it easier. And this is part excerpts from the Song of Moses. Let's say together, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. No. Next one. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Amen. Now, if the worship band could come up, we're going to have a time of praise now to end our time together this morning. We're going to sing a number of songs to close, but let's sing them as the chosen people of God, the people who have been redeemed by this new act, wonderful act of God, when Jesus defeated death, rose again, and we have the promise of his indwelling spirit. We have the promise of his presence with us always. We have the promise of forgiveness of sins and the eternal joy in the life to come. We praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord together.
Right, I'm going to start with, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord.
To the Lord as long as I live, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad, I will be glad in the Lord. Bless all the
I will sing.
I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad, I will be glad. Lord, oh my soul, praise ye the Lord.
It's a joy and a privilege to be able to be released in song to the Lord. It did strike me while Robin was talking to us earlier that actually for a number of our young people, you know, when I was at school, every day we went into assembly, we sang, and that was something that continued right up to the time when I left school when I was 18. For a lot of our young people, that doesn't happen anymore. And actually, singing is something that's quite scary and quite alien, and they probably find it quite difficult to come into a church and find people singing. And there may be people within our fellowship who've had that experience of song being something difficult and threatening. Perhaps that's something just for us all to bear in mind. But if there is anyone this particularly speaks to this morning, in preparation for today, I was reflecting on freedom, and of what stops us being free is basically fear. And we're told in 1 John chapter 4 that perfect love casts out fear. And whatever it is we're afraid of, if it's fear of making a fool of ourselves by singing, whatever we, or if it's fear of raising our hands, whatever it might be fear of, if we actually love the Lord, he will release us from that and enable us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we're now going to sing the song, My Lips Shall Praise You. And verse 2 of that song talks about love that conquers every fear. Can I urge anyone who needs to seize hold of that promise this morning to seize on it as we sing this song? My lips shall praise you, my great Redeemer.
My lips shall praise you, my great Redeemer. My heart will worship, almighty Saviour. My lips shall praise you, my great Redeemer. My heart will worship, almighty Saviour. You take all my guilt away, turn the darkest night to brightest day. You are the restorer of my soul. My lips shall praise you, my great Redeemer. My heart will worship, almighty Saviour. Love that conquers every fear, in the midst of trouble you draw near. You are the restorer of my soul. My lips shall praise you, my great Redeemer. My heart will worship, almighty Saviour. You're the source of happiness, bringing peace when I am in distress. You are the restorer of my soul. My lips shall praise you, my great Redeemer. My heart will worship, almighty Saviour. My lips shall praise you, my great Redeemer. My heart will worship, almighty Saviour. Almighty Saviour. Almighty Saviour.
Lord, our lips will praise you as we go from this place, for you are the Redeemer of our souls and you're the wonderful life giver. Lord, may as we go, we go singing your praises and worshipping you. Lord, would you inhabit the praise of your people? Would you come upon us as we sing praise to you and glorify your name and revel in your love and be participants in the life in the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to close now with that. The Spirit lives to set us free. Walk in the light. We go walking in the light of the Lord.
Different key. Sorry, technical hitch.
Spirit lives to set us free. Walk, walk in the light, He binds us all in unity. Walk, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light of the Lord. Jesus promised life to all. Walk, walk in the light, the dead were awakened by His call. Walk, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light of the Lord. He died in pain on Calvary. Walk, walk in the light to save the lost like you and me. Walk, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light of the Lord. We know His death is not the end. Walk, walk in the light, He gave His Spirit to be our friend.
Just turn to someone and shake their hand and give them a blessing of God. Say a blessing over somebody this morning. Bless the Lord.
Bless you.
Praise you.
thank you. Good to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
Thanks
for being
there
too.
Oh, thank you. Well, I always seem to get these weeks. Whenever there's something grotty happening, it's usually.
You get it.
Yes. Thank you.
It's difficult. Don't give you a blazing goblin. Pops in a diet,
did you say? Amy Winehouse, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I never put overdoses on. Well,